You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Well, I told you I've got a message that I'm going to preach this morning that's really just going to help you to refocus. Who of you have realized that there's really a battle going on in the spirit between light and darkness, between good and evil? And we have to be focused as Christians. So I want to share with you a message, the value of the process that you are going through. Who have you been going through a process that's been a bit tough? You know, and as I was thinking about this, I thought, let me talk about Joseph going into the pit and the palace, or the pit and the prison and palace. I was thinking about Jesus when he told these disciples in Mark chapter 6, get into the boat and go to the other side. You know, the Bible says, and as they got in the boat and they went to the other side, immediately there was a wind opposing them. Ever gone through that? God given you an assignment to do something. He said, go to the other side, and now you have a wind opposing you. Am I talking to the right people here? And the devil wants you to doubt yourself that if God said, go to the other side, why is the wind opposing you? Family, just because God said, go to the other side, doesn't mean you won't have a wind that will oppose you. I thought, no. Some of you have been going through is not even a pit or a prison. It's not been a wind that's been against you. God's really been dealing with me with Elijah, what he went through. And I said, yeah. Some of you have been facing some Ahabs and Jezebels. Am I talking to the right people here? I said, let's look at that process that Elijah went through. Some drought in his life, some fire, and then the rain came. Are you ready for that? Have you been going through a season of drought? It's time for some rain in your life. Turn to the person next to you, say, buckle up. Romans 8, verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ came and set us free from the law of sin and death. He dealt with sin by dying on the cross. He dealt with death by being raised from the dead. Most people, most Christians, when they make a mistake, they'll run to Jesus and say, please forgive me. But very few get to a place where they deal with the death that's pressing against them, the killing, stealing, and the destroying. And that's what I want to deal with today, to help you with that. In the spirit, when you are born again, your spirit is made alive and you're linked up with God. But one of the areas where the enemy will attack you with death the whole time is in your mind. That's why you have to renew your thoughts. Because as a Christian, you can be born again, but still battling with the wrong thoughts. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Just because you're a Christian does not mean you won't have negative thoughts. The devil wants to bring death into your way of thinking, because as a man thinks, so is he. So if you start believing all these death thoughts, I'm not going to make it. I'm the worst person on the earth. Everything is against me. No doors are opening. Ever had thoughts like that? Nothing comes together. Ever have thoughts like that? Where the enemy say you're going to go under? Where he says you're the tail, you'll never be the head? Have you ever had thoughts like that? You're at the right place. Amen. You're at the right place. And I'm going to show you what God is busy with. And God's word is exalted above his name, is what the Bible teaches us. That means what God has declared stands forever. And he has declared over all of you, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And some of you have been quoting that scripture, but you've not been believing it. And it's time to start to walk in what God has called you to do. So I want to help you this morning, to take you so that you can move from the drought to the rain. Amen. Who of you are ready for some rain? So let me just warn you. Like Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. When they got into the boat, there was a wind opposing them. So if you're at a place of drought and God is going to take you to a place of rain, I want to tell you, you are going to encounter an Ahab and a Jezebel. You don't have to say amen. These are just facts. Things in the world. Amen. So you're going to encounter them. And I want you to be ready, because you rather want to be prepared than just run into them and think, oh, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And now suddenly you hit an opposing wind. It's very important. I shared this morning at the pre-service prayer. I told the leaders when we were praying together. I said, when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, he made it clear the direction that they should move in. The wind and the storm wanted to distract them to go in another direction, to go to another place. And the Bible says Jesus would have passed them by. If the Lord has told you to go, say for example, to Cape Town, and you on the highway to Durban, you can miss your encounter with Jesus. So when the Lord has spoken you to be somewhere, to do something, stay on the course, even if you've experienced winds against you. Let me make it more practical. Sometimes the Lord gives you a job. He says, I want you to be in this job. And now you experience some headwinds. I'm going to resign. I'm going to leave them. This is not of God. And you can miss it. Sometimes the Lord will say, I want you to be planted in a church. And then the fire of God starts to work in you. Is this God? I'm going somewhere else. You can miss it. That's why when the Lord has spoken to you, stay the course. Amen. So here is 1 Kings 19 verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Everything had happened now. There was a drought. There was fire. And now the rain is going to come. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me. That's a god with a small g, amen. Her gods, Baal, not our God. And more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them, that's one of the prophets by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Listen to me. I want to start off by telling you, if God is busy with a process in your life, the last season, the last part is the most important, where you're going to have to remain focused. When the drought is over and the fire had come and the rain is about to fall, there's a DM coming from Jezebel that's going to say, I'm going to kill you. Be ready. You don't have to say amen. You can just say, be warned. Many of you have allowed people that speak over you to speak into your life. That's why many people are battling with depression, heaviness of heart, because you're on Facebook looking what people are saying about you and reading it and taking it as words of people speaking into your life. Am I talking to the right people here? When people speak about you, it does not mean they have the right to speak into your life. If you want to finish strong, be careful who speaks into your life. There are many people talking about you. In Afrikaans, they say, praat oor jou. Let them speak over you, but don't allow it to speak into you. Because that word that came to him caused him to run. Are you ready for the message today? I don't need a lot of amens. I just want you to get focused so that you will appreciate the process and finish strong for our God. Amen. So can I give you some things to watch out for? You know, there's apps these days. When you're going to drive somewhere, you can put on the app and the app will tell you, watch out, there's an accident there. Watch out, they're building on the road there. Watch out, there's a pothole there. So I'm going to give you some of those warning signs today. Are you ready for that? I want to start by saying God has called you with a purpose. He has anointed you. He's empowered you to do what you have to do. He's given you the grace to do what you have to do. Amen? And what the enemy is after is to make you doubt that calling. If he did it with Jesus, he's going to try and do it with you. In this process, the devil even came to Jesus and he said, if you are the Son of God, why are you hungry? Turn these stones into loaves of bread. So just because you are going through a tough season does not mean you're not a son and a daughter of the Most High God. The spirit of Ahab and Jezebel is still working today and will come and confront you and challenge you and make you doubt your sonship. Don't allow them to do that. So number one, the Bible tells us that Ahab was an extremely wicked man. A matter of fact, if you go read a few verses before that, in 1 Kings 16, verse 25 to 26, Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did worse than all who were before him. Omri was Ahab's father. So the Bible says, this dad was evil and wicked. Then it says, Ahab himself. So the Bible first said, of Omri, there was nobody as evil and wicked as him. Then the Bible says that of Ahab, nobody was as wicked as him. He was even more wicked than his father. Fathers, can I talk to you? Whoever and whatever you are to your children, they are going to want to upgrade on what you are doing and the way that you're living. Amen. That's why we need godly fathers to show our children how to live a godly life. So what evil did he do? He worshipped Baal. But more than that, he wanted to rebuild the walls of Jericho, the foundations of Jericho. What does that mean? The walls of Jericho was destroyed by God. Israel shouted, but God brought the walls down. And he said, nobody can touch Jericho. If you take anything from Jericho, you'll be cursed. It's the word of God that broke down those walls. Ahab's spirit is a spirit that wants to rewrite the word of God. Change the word of God. Build up what God does not approve. We have to be careful that we don't start to walk in that kind of a spirit. Where we start to change this gospel to suit us. And instead of allowing the gospel to change us. So if you want to rebuild the walls of Jericho, it brings a curse, not a blessing. And we want a blessing in our lives. Amen? We have to preach every page in this Bible. God's challenged me in this week. He says, will you preach everything? Even the things that make society feel uncomfortable. Family, listen to me. Parents, listen to me. The enemy wants to bring thoughts of death. Death has been dealt with by Jesus Christ on the cross. We have the victory. So all that the enemy can do now is he can plant those negative thoughts in the minds of our children. Let them experience bad things at a young age that would take their thoughts in a wrong direction, that would change their behavior in a wrong direction. Turn to the person next to you, say, love the process. Tell them God is real, the devil is real, but we have the victory. Do you know what the spirit of Ahab does? The spirit of Ahab gives our children in schools and all different places, wrong friends, permission to do things that God has not permitted, that God does not allow. And you have to watch out and look out for that. Amen? Christianity is not the art of seeing how close I can live to sin without sinning. It's living for righteousness. If I'm going to be a Christian, I have to live for righteousness. I have to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Amen? So watch out for Ahab in your talking, in your walking, in your doing. That's Ahab. The second one is even more nasty, Jezebel. She's extremely wicked. Amen? Jezebel represents manipulation, perverseness. It's corrupt nature to influence the thoughts of a generation, bullying people, taking advantage of people when they are feeling weak and tired and feel like they cannot go on. She takes advantage. You know what the Bible says? The Bible warns us not to tolerate Jezebel. But unfortunately, in the Word of God, when you go to Revelation 2 verse 20, you'll see that the church tolerated Jezebel. Family, listen to me. As a church, we cannot tolerate Jezebel in us. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you've allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things which are sacrificed to idols. That's Jezebel. It's time for you to stand up and believe that God has anointed you for a purpose, that He's busy with a process to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. You know what brings me so much hope? You know what is so encouraging? I'm looking at this man, Elijah. The man who prayed and there was a drought. The man who prayed and there was fire that came down from heaven. The man who prayed and rain came. And when Jezebel spoke to him and said, I'm going to kill you, he panicked and ran. Come on, guys. Who of you have had all night? A matter of fact, when he prayed for the rain, he prayed 7 times. That means it was a whole night prayer meeting. Sometimes God will give you a word. He said, I hear the sound of rain. Go tell Ahab the rain is coming. But when his servant went to look, his servant saw nothing. As a child of God, sometimes God will speak to you and give you a word that is so loud that you don't doubt it. You want to run with it. You say, go look. We don't see anything. He prayed again. Just go look again. Sometimes when the Lord delays something, don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. And I'm thinking, this man has prayed the whole night, the whole day. He's seeing it. He's hearing it. But the people around him are not seeing it. And here the rain comes. And Jezebel tells him, sends a message. On Facebook today, it would have been either on WhatsApp, Facebook, or a DM. And she says, by tomorrow, you're dead. You're dead. You'd think he would say, excuse me, I prayed and there was a drought. I prayed and fire came down. I prayed, it started to rain. Jezebel, I'm not going to pray. Your days are over. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Have you been in a spiritual high? Have you seen the breakthrough? Have you seen God do amazing things? And the next minute you panic and you want to run away? Don't say amen. Just double blink at me. Amen. If I'm talking to the right people here. Turn to the person next to you. Say you have to go through the process. You know what's so encouraging? When he panicked and he ran away, the Lord sent an angel to touch him and to strengthen him. Family, listen to me. Even when you've panicked and you wanted to run away, God has not changed his mind. God has not changed his mind. Can I give you some advice? In this process, stop posting all negative comments, but rather say, thank you, Jesus, that you are in control. Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes you're going through a process of fire that has to come down. You're in a boat going to the other side and there's a wind coming against you. And all that you're writing about, I'm just trying to do what Jesus told me to do, and now there's a wind coming against me. Please pray for me. Can I give you a heads up? If you've been in a season of drought, and I mean that can be anything, that can be emotionally, that can be spiritually, that can be financially, that can be in your marriage. If you want to go from drought to rain, you know what's in between? Fire. Fire. You know what fire does? Fire consumes and removes everything which is not of God. Some of you, before the blessing comes, you need fire to purify you. You need to pray and say, Lord, cleanse me before you bless me. Cleanse me before you bless me. There's a need for us as God's children every day to pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Empower me. Strengthen me, lead me, guide me. Let me give you the good news. I've said this many times, but I realize that now again. The same anointing that killed the lion, killed the bear, killed the giant. The same anointing on Elijah's life. He prayed, caused the drought, caused fire to come down, caused the rain to come down. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're an anointed one, whether you like it or not. So if God is going to take us on this journey of fruitfulness, you're going to have to go through the process, whether it's the pit, the prison, and then the palace, whether it's the drought, the fire, or the rain. You have to go through the process. Jesus even said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He had to go through the process. Am I helping some of you? Are you ready for the rain part? I declare rain over you. I declare fruitfulness over you. I declare restoration over you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, this last season, you have to be most careful. You have to keep your solid front. Amen? Are you ready for that? Have you been going through a season of drought? Are you ready for some rain? You know, sometimes the Bible talks about a drought and a second drought. That was the life of Isaac, the chosen one, the anointed one, the highly favored one. Amen. Remember? So just because you've been through a drought and a second drought does not mean God is not with you. In Acts 3, God promised us times of restoration of all things. Restoration of all things. Are you ready for restoration of all things? Restoration and salvation of all things. You know what that means? It means your family is going to get saved. It means that business now is going to be revitalized. Amen? It means that marriage is going to turn around now. Go to 1 Kings 18, verse 21. You know what's the problem in our society today? We're neutral. We're neutral. Do you want the rain? You cannot be neutral. You know what is neutral? It's what's required of us today in society to be politically correct. In the church, to say the right things. Not to say things that will offend people. Cannot be that. Look here, 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Listen to me. If you want the rain and the fire of God in your life, you cannot be silent. Turn to the person next to you and say, you cannot be silent. Listen to me. Today's silent consent is tomorrow's loud bondage. Today's silent consent is tomorrow's loud bondage. You cannot be silent. When Jesus was standing with Barabbas, and they said, choose who I should release, Jesus or Barabbas. Barabbas symbolized that killing, stealing, and destroying. Those that gave a silent consent and did not say, release Jesus, gave a silent consent to release Barabbas into their lives. As a Christian, when you are silent, don't think because I'm saying nothing, it's a no. A silence means a consent. Ena, amen. The Israelites were happy to combine Baal with Jesus. We cannot have that. You cannot combine forefathers with Jesus. If you want to worship your forefathers, then go and worship your forefathers. That's what Elijah said. He says, choose for yourself. Joshua said exactly the same. He said, choose who you will serve. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. He said, so I'm telling you now, choose who you want to serve. It's not a matter of combining our strengths even with Jesus. Am I talking to the right people here? We want to be a church. There's so much rubbish in the church right now. You know what Ahab also did? Ahab's whole thing was, he brought separation, segregation. That's not in the Word of God. Let me just say that. If you go read Galatians 3 verse 28, just put it up quickly. Turn to the person next to you and say, value the process. The fire of God will burn a lot of rubbish out of us. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Just put 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 up quickly. What does it say? For by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Can I tell you what's my interpretation of that? There's one church. There's a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. It's Jesus' hour, and He's going to be glorified in Him alone. And if you want it done, go through the process. The fire is still going to burn all that rubbish out of you. If you cannot be one body here on earth, what are you going to do in heaven? If you still think it's a kind of a church here on earth, what are you going to do in heaven? I want to tell you, you're not ready for heaven. You cannot be born again and born of the Spirit, and the fire of God falls on you and consumes all the rubbish out of you, all the Baal practices, and you lay it aside and you say, I'm a Christian, but you still want to hold on to your Baal traditions and ways of doing things. If you're going to tolerate that nonsense in your life, you will become like it. Listen to me. What you tolerate in your life, you'll become like. That's why many churches are not churches that represent Jesus anymore. They represent another culture. Whereas the church should represent the culture of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be in a church. Ena. Amen. Now, let me just tell you something. God spoke to me. He said, remember when I called you, what I told you? From Isaiah 40. He said, lift up your voice. Don't be afraid. And say to the cities of South Africa, behold, here is my God. This is God. He says, don't be afraid of them. I fear God more than when I fear man. And this segregation and this nonsense in churches should stop. If you cannot see Jesus in another brother, get saved. Get born again. If you cannot sit next to somebody from another culture, get filled with the Holy Spirit, because we've been baptized into one Spirit. To drink from one Spirit, to be one body. Can I just say this? If you want to go through the process, Christians, there's no such thing as a silent Christian. If you're a Christian, they overcame by the word of their testimony. If you want victory, you're going to have to testify. So, can I have a few more minutes? Am I helping some of you? We're going to change this nation. We're going to take it back for God. The fire is going to fall. You know why the fire fell? The fire fell to turn a whole nation back to God. And God wants this nation to turn back to Him. And there's only one way. It's through a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, touching and changing people's hearts. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And then when we look in this, this is when you change from glory to glory. Amen. So, family, listen to me. When Elijah ran away, do you know what he ran away? He ran away from his calling. Have you ever been at a place where God has called you to do something and you felt like you wanted to run away? I'm one of them. I wanted to run away. But you know what? God didn't allow me to run away. In the same way, God didn't give up on me. He's not going to give up on you. You know, I like this part where the Lord comes to Elijah and he says, "Where are you?" You know, when God comes to you and he says to you, "Where are you?" You know, you better sort yourself out. He says, "Oh God, you're not going to believe it. I am the only prophet that's left, and they even want to kill me." He says, "Wake up, man. You're not the only one. There's 7,000 others. And what I've decided, I'm not going to change. There's a generation that the enemy wants to destroy. The spirit of Ahab and Jezebel wants to take them out. And I can tell you, for years, this thing has gripped my heart. And I thought, God, we better deal with everything. We better deal with everything that this spirit doesn't destroy my children. Have you ever had that kind of a fear that I have to sort out everything that my children don't get destroyed?" And the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, "Take it easy, buddy. You're not going to deal with them. They're going to deal with it. They are going to deal with it. And you as a parent, listen to me. What the enemy is after is what you've been standing for. The righteousness, the holiness, standing before God and fearing Him. That mantle that God placed upon you and the assignment that He has given you to go to the other side. The enemy is after that mantle. Because if he can take your mantle and cause you to give up, there cannot be a double anointing. And that's what God wants. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, the good work that God has begun in you, He's going to complete it. Am I talking to the right people here? So listen to me, parents. We have a responsibility. We cannot give up during this last stage. Cannot. The good work that God has begun is going to finish it. And he says to Elijah, "Get up. There's an assignment. For the anointing that rests upon you, it needs to be transferred to the next generation. They're going to need double to get through the season." Am I talking to the right people here? God is about to do it. God, out of nothing, can create something. And Elijah speaks a word to Ahab and he says, "Go tell Ahab, the rain is coming. I hear the sound of rain." I need sons and daughters of God to hear the sound of revival, to hear the sound of God's fire that's being stirred, the waters that's being stirred. God is about to do it. Listen to me. This Jezebel comes to Elijah and he says, by tomorrow, you're dead. 24 hours, you're dead. Was Elijah dead after 24 hours? No. Was Elijah dead after a week? No. Was Elijah dead after a month? No. Was Elijah dead after a year? No. Was Elijah dead after a decade? No. Was Elijah dead after a century? No. Was Elijah dead after two centuries? No. Do you think God is trying to tell you something? He's saying to you what Jezebel declared over you. I'm going to do the opposite. Where the enemy has said, I'm going to destroy, kill, says, I'm going to bring life and life in abundance. And I love it. He ran away because of that word. And God says, just because you ran away, just because you panicked, I'm not changing my mind. I'm still allowing that mantle to fall on Elisha, that there can be a double portion so that change can come, so that times of refreshing can come, the times of revival can come. Are you ready for times of refreshing? Some of you need to get up and say, Lord, thank you for the mantle that you've placed upon me. And where the enemy has said, your family will never serve God, I declare right now, your family will serve God. Where the enemy has said, this marriage will never be restored, I declare this marriage will be healthy and will bring glory to the name of God. Where the enemy has said, your business will be nothing, your business will be successful. Where the enemy said, nobody in your family will be educated, I declare children will be educated and have qualifications. Family, if you've been going through a drought, if you've been experiencing some fire, and in the time of rain, Jezebel told you she's going to kill you, God is just busy with the process. Take the word from Jezebel that she's going to kill you, that God is about to do exactly the opposite. Are you ready for that? I'm going to close with this scripture. You know it, John 10, verse 10. Where Jesus said, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jezebel, Ahab, wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, Elijah, the spirit that I've placed upon you is to bring life and life in abundance. Elijah never died. A matter of fact, the Bible says a chariot came and took him up to heaven. A matter of fact, God is reminding us that even when Jesus walked this earth, Elijah was still alive. And he met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He is alive. Amen. And whatever the enemy has declared over you, God is about to do exactly the opposite. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't allow those thoughts of killing, stealing, and destroying to contaminate your mind. But hold on to that word. I've come to bring you life and life in abundance. I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Where the enemy has said, I'm going to kill you, let that word go over you. Lamentation said, who can declare something and it comes to pass unless the Lord has approved it or the Lord has commanded it? If the Lord has not commanded it, it's not going to happen. I declare over your life, the only things that will happen are the things that the Lord commanded over your life. It's the only thing that will happen in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.